Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Portland Trailblazers are still playing basketball. Did you know that?
Turns out they are. In fact, today even.
Yeah.
Today even they're playing basketball.
Look at that.
Playing the Orlando Magic.
At 4 o'clock tip.
God, I love the early tips.
Yeah. Oh, man. Stepped on that. Right now they are 15-28. For those that can do math, that's 43 games. That's over halfway. We're halfway done.
We're on the way down the hill. Woohoo!
We are over halfway done.
Sweet Jesus, thank you.
That projects out to, right around 30 wins this season.
Yeah, Kevin Pelton has his win projection based on first half as 31 wins.
Don't like it.
I am going to smash the under.
Oh.
Smash the under.
Okay.
The under. Give it to me.
Well, the Blazers, we've talked about this before, but the Blazers' remaining strength of schedule, it actually has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Indeed.
They are now eighth toughest schedule remaining in the entire National Basketball Association.
There's been some injuries.
A few teams that they're in contention with for one of those worst records are ahead of them with tougher schedules. New Orleans mm-hmm. has the fourth toughest schedule. Utah has the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're catching Utah.
Utah and Washington, throw them out.
But New Orleans has been playing.
They'll win.
Betta ball. Mm-hmm. They're playing betta ball. They've won four games in a row. They're on tonight, right? They've been off for a couple of days.
Yeah, because of the snow.
Oh, yeah. Their game got postponed.
Yeah.
People were ice skating on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, no, the Bucks are left this morning to play their game tonight.
Wait, they left?
New Orleans.
New Orleans this morning, Miami?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well,
and it sounds like they're going to push the game back 90 minutes.
I'll tell you what, that's a tough road trip to dress for. Well, how do you pack for that?
Well, the Blazers knew it was going to be cold in Miami and Orlando, and they were all kind of bummed because this is the trip at this time of year where when you go down there, you get a little reprieve, and you know, guys don't typically bring their golf clubs.
Well, they're going to come back home for the warmth.
Yeah, I know, but there's no golfing because the hotel they stay at in Orlando is on a golf course.
Mm.
But also, I know guys have either stayed over a day in Orlando or stayed over a day in Miami and then drove down.
Oh.
Because it's not that far. It's a half-hour flight.
Yeah.
It's very, very short. So, but they've made that hike just because they're like, I'm going to play golf at this particular resort because Florida, good for golf.
Mm. Well, despite the Blazers not having the worst record in the NBA, they have the second worst point differential in the entire NBA,
which is a
8.4
more precise predictor historically of eventual outcome.
Yeah. Utah is sitting there and they're five games better than the Blazers or worse than the Blazers in the win column, only four worse than the Blazers in the loss column. They have a minus 6.8 point differential. The worst team in the NBA is the Washington Wizards. Their point differential is negative 14.4. Mind you, the Blazers are second worst at minus 8.4. That's really bad.
He's very, very bad. Now, if you go by point diff when you throw out garbage time, it's minus 14.8. Point diff for the Wizards. The New Orleans is at negative 9.4, Brooklyn negative 9, Portland negative 9.
Okay. So where do we see this team going? Because, like, if you look at the easiest schedules in the NBA mm-hmm. remaining, teams like Charlotte at 26th, Toronto is at 30th, and Toronto is one of those teams where I just cannot get a good read and feel on them, because at times they look like one of the worst teams in the NBA, but other times, like, they hang with a lot of teams. They beat the Boston Celtics, for God's sakes.
No, of all of the max contracts handed out to the rookie scale guys last year, mm-hmm. Scottie Barnes is the one that made me raise my eyebrow the most. Talent-wise, he's there. The other stuff, the
leadership
and intangibles, like, he, I don't want, I just, I'm not buying in.
Okay.
And I think that affects them. They're trying to move off of Bruce Brown. There's potential for them moving off of Jakob Poeltl, but that kind of leaves them in a weird spot. Masai Ujiri's on very thin ice right now, after sitting on OG Anunoby and sitting on Pascal Siakam for so long and getting nothing for them. It's an interesting spot. I think they might win some games, but I think that's they're in the competition. You're the teams that you're really fighting against.
Brooklyn also has an easy schedule.
Yeah, New Orleans and Brooklyn. Like, those are the ones that you're going to be fighting against, so to speak, for that fourth or fifth worst record in the league.
Okay.
And that's where you're getting to. You're not getting to the bottom three. That's just Washington is, they have decided, we don't care. We are, like, their entire roster is constructed without a single playmaker outside of Malcolm Brogdon. And Brogdon isn't that guy.
You don't think Toronto can peel off a few? They got four games remaining against the Wizards.
No. I think they can. As I was saying, I don't think they're...
Well, that would put the Blazers at bottom three if they can't catch Utah, can't catch...
Washington. But, again, because Portland won probably three more games than they should have by beating the Pelicans twice, well, three times, but in quick succession, the Pelicans twice and the Timberwolves twice.
Yeah.
Like those early season, those four early season wins that you would probably project at minimum going 1-3 if those teams are healthy and not dysfunctional and not broken just to their very cores. Three more losses right now has them at 12 total losses or 12 total wins, and that puts them tied with New Orleans and one game ahead of both Charlotte and Toronto. Like, okay. That's the biggest difference in the season.
Obviously, we want to see the Blazers end in the bottom five.
Yes. Right?
I mean, I think that is what everybody kind of wants mm-hmm. to see, win-loss record, bottom five of the NBA. That inherently boosts your odds.
Ethical tanking to where the basketball gods rewarded.
Okay, how do we get to that ethical tanking, though? Because what do we need to see here? Because we have the trade deadline mm-hmm. is fast approaching. We're less than 3 weeks away from that, right?
Yep. 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Yeah. Golly, only 2 weeks
actually,
now?
I think 2 weeks from today.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Six. 2 weeks yeah. from yeah, today. Yeah, because I wrote my trade primer was 16 days. It was 2 days ago, yeah.
Where do we see this team, and what do we need to see over the next 2 weeks, and then what do we expect to see moving forward, I think is the biggest kind of indicator of direction of the team, because there are assets that we've been told by the front office have been attractive mm-hmm. for tradable assets. The market has been depressed by the new CBA, but again, though, I don't think that it sits well with a fan base to be told that, hey, we are going to do X, Y, and Z, and then be like, well, we didn't see this coming. That doesn't bode well for...
No, it's not going to bode well for the Blazers, or it's not going to bode well for really anybody, because I think you're going to see a lot of organizations doing that.
Wins and losses aside, what do we need to see?
I think the biggest thing you need to see is some sort of directional shift in the sense of where they're going to go and how they're going to go. And I've been pro, hey, keep the veterans around until the training wheels need to come off. Mm-hmm. And if you believe this run with Scoot is more substantial, then you can start pivoting towards that. If you believe that Shaden is starting to figure things out, you can start pivoting towards that. The same thing is true to a lesser extent with Tu and Denny, which I think Denny is fine.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The interesting one is even executives on other teams and talking to them about like DeAndre Ayton. They're like, yeah, he's not movable, and he's not. He's not movable right now at all. When he's on his final year of his deal going this summer and he's operating as a $34, $35 million expiring, that changes. But also Donovan can't stay healthy yet, and Rob has never been able to stay healthy. So, like, he just kind of...
It's not a good thing for your 7-foot rookie to already say that.
Well, I mean, right, he hasn't had those issues until this year. Like, he didn't have them in college, so...
Also, not what Blazer fans want to hear.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on.
Great, yeah, center that can't stay healthy, awesome.
But DeAndre does work as an innings eater. And so it's like, until those guys are, at least until Donovan's ready, because I don't care how many Reddit threads are out there screaming about playing Donovan Klingon 30 minutes, he can't.
But he literally, his
full
body
stop,
can't do
he
it.
He can't do it right now. And I don't care how angry that makes people. I don't care how far. He cannot physically do it night in, night out. It's just not a thing he can do yet.
Well, I mean, just think of... he's already played a full NCAA schedule.
Yes.
And 43 games is where you're at, where you look at in college basketball, like, that's your full slate, guys. And there is, especially for bigs, it's a lot more difficult for them to go down that road.
It's a steep curve because it's the speed that you play at and how many more possessions. Like, look, how many games this season, okay, he has appeared in 31 games, which to your point, 32 to 36 is an NCAA season.
Last year, they played 40 games.
Okay. And that's including the NCAA tournament, which was for them five?
Yeah.
I think it's five, if I'm not mistaken. Because they won the Big East tournament too.
Yeah.
So I think their regular season was 32.
I'm just trying to
Big East games, then five.
I want to fact check that.
No,
about right.
Yeah, I think that's where it was. Because I'm almost certain, for some reason, 32 is sticking in my head for them as far as regular season games. But how many times this...
Yeah, they were 31-3 in the regular season.
So 34. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's played 31 games, appeared in 31 games this season. How many times do you think he has played more than 28 minutes?
Twice?
Once.
Yeah. Damn.
And that's not because of DeAndre Ayton or Robert Williams. It's because he can't. Like, so for me, get him healthy, fully healthy as well. You can't ever get fully healthy during an NBA season. Get him as close to as healthy as possible where there's the chance for re-injury or for aggravation or any of those things falls to the wayside, right? And then see how many minutes he can play while being effective, because that was both the coaching staff and the front office have both told me the same thing. They are in alignment of, we do not want to play him X amount of minutes just to get to a minutes threshold. We want productive, good minutes out of him. And as you get more productive, good minutes out of him, he gets more minutes. Like, those are the, like, just saying play X amount of minutes doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's not something that you should aspire to or want. But get him to where you get 24 good minutes out of him a night. I think that's the goal with him. And I think with Shaden, get more aggressive. Get off the bench and be, or if you're coming off the bench for the rest of the season, however that ends up working, show that you can swallow your pride and do the things that you need to do and make it difficult for the Blazers to have to offer you an extension this summer.
Boy, that is hard. It's a hard turn, though, because I think what all of us entering the season, it was, all right, at this point, what we'd be looking for is, all right, where, what do they get for Jeremy Grant, right, mm-hmm. In trade? Because that ship doesn't seem like it's completely sailed, but boy, has the temperature cooled on movement of Jeremy Grant from where we were this offseason to the beginning of the season and where we are just a few months into the season with only a couple weeks before the trade deadline happening.
And the thing all around that, it's not just Jeremy, Ant, DA, Matisse, whether or not transactions happen or not, we can all read the tea leaves about what they're going to do post All-Star break.
Ant's going to be an interesting one, yeah?
Yeah. I think Ant is a guy that if he is here after the trade deadline, which for the first time is a real opportunity, he could be moved to the deadline. I don't expect him to be, but I think he's open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I think he gets shut down. Maybe not immediately, but
we may see the sporadic shutdowns, which we've seen in years past mm-hmm. of, you know, Ant gets shut down for 2 weeks, then he comes back, but JG gets shut down and Ant comes back, and then they overlap with DeAndre getting shut down with like 2 weeks of
as long as Donovan's Jeremy healthy and, kind yeah, of situation. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like you're just trying to balance that stuff. And so it's not pretty. It's not fun. I don't like it. And this is the ugliness of tanking that I hate so much. But they'll fake it till they make it, and they'll keep the win total under probably 23.
You know, I will say that if the wins pile up and no movement happens at the deadline,
oh, that's a problem.
Like, that is a let's say that's failure a problem. Of the season.
No, it's a problem.
It's a failure of the goal of what they saw.
There's one way it's not a failure. It's because Scoot, Shaden, Two, Denny, Donovan. If they're the ones that are like responsible for wins because they're something clicks and they're figuring it out, then it's like, it's a good problem to have.
I think it is a problem though, because that's how you get into basketball purgatory.
I agree. Like, but like you understand what I'm saying though.
I know you see growth, but growth is what growth was like one of the main goals.
Yes.
Of this season.
Holistically,
it was losing,
it's not a failure. That's what I'm going
growth.
With.
Yeah. All right. Well, boy. These next 2 weeks are, we need to kind of, I think as a fan base, we need to see the organization ratchet up the heat of a trade market trying to get something done. If it doesn't happen, I think we are going to start seeing the pitchforks come out for this team. Mm-hmm. And if nothing less, got to see some of those losses start piling up. Not a good spot to be in right now. But this, as you said it, we talked about this. When we first started this show together, the tank was, all right, we're getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, fans better be about that life. And we knew that there were not going to be a lot of fans that were about it. Because
there's
it
sucks. There's nothing pretty about it until you get the guy.
And
once you get the guy, then it's like, all right, let's go.
For a lot of it, it is, dude, you just got to check out.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to check out for long stretches, and then you got to come back in and be like,
check the water. Right. Is the water good? Too cold? Too hot? What is it?
I'll tell you what. It was been through it. Mm-hmm. I've been through it with the Houston Astros. It changes the way you approach a season as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the middle of it, it sucks.
It sucks something fierce.
But if you can come out on the other side,
the ends justify the mean.
It's a lot better, but that is also easier said than done.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.